Luke chapter number 2. Luke chapter number 2. And when you get to Luke chapter 2, hold your place there. We'll get there in a little bit. We'll go to Ecclesiastes chapter number 1. Luke chapter 2. Ecclesiastes chapter number 1. We will get there here shortly. And I tell you, I don't know what's going on with the sickness, but it's everywhere. But just be glad. That's something for us to be thankful for. If you're here and you're not sick, be thankful. Amen. And just be glad for the health that you have this morning. Well, a couple weeks ago, our pastor was preaching, and he had just mentioned this text that we're in, Luke chapter number 2. We're going to begin reading verse 39. He just briefly went through here, and part of his message that morning, and boy, the Holy Spirit, I wrote it down, and the Lord told me that I would be preaching that. I didn't know when, but it's this morning. And I'm thankful the Lord does things like that. Amen. Preaching begats preaching. And that's why it's good to be in God's house, so you can hear His voice. All right, Luke chapter number 2. We're going to begin reading in verse number 39. The Scripture says, "And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city of Nazareth." In verse number 40, "And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." That's Jesus. Amen. Verse 41, "Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. Verse 44. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him." Let's ask the Lord's blessing. Father, for the next few minutes, Heavenly Father, I pray that God, you'd lift the Lord, a slight heavy spirit in this place this morning. I pray, Heavenly Father, that Jesus Christ would be glorified for the next few minutes. I pray, dear Lord, if there's folks in here, Lord, they're just facing things, or Lord, they're discouraged. Heavenly Father, I pray once again that God, you would manifest yourself in here to your people. And God, you'd give them the grace and the strength that they need. Heavenly Father, I have no idea the heavy hearts, the burdens, the things that folks are facing. But God, you know where everybody's been all week. Lord, you know where they've been. Lord, you know every thought. Lord, you know their future. And Father, you have a plan for them. Lord, I pray that God, for a little while, that we'd listen and be still. God, let you speak to our hearts this morning. Heavenly Father, whatever folks are facing, dear Lord, I realize the magnitude of eternal value and eternal things, God, amongst these people. And Lord, I pray that, Heavenly Father, for the next little while, that I would literally get out of the way. Lord, I pray that these folks would not see me, that Father, that you would make me absolutely nothing. And Heavenly Father, glorify your Son, Jesus Christ, with every word that I say. Heavenly Father, exalt your word to the highest, and exalt your Son, Jesus Christ, for the next few minutes. I pray, if there's someone in here that's been battling salvation, Father, there's someone in here that, Lord, they know that they're lost. They knew that they were lost before they walked in the doors. God, I pray that this morning that you would convince them that Jesus Christ can change their life and set them free. Lord, convince them, Father, that what the world has to offer is not anywhere close, Father, to what you have in this life as being a Christian. Lord, I pray, Heavenly Father, today would be the day they get saved. And Lord, I pray, in this world in which we live, God, we need to see some real Christians. I pray. Lord, I pray for your folks in here this morning. God, these Christians, I believe we have everything we need, dear Lord, to make a difference and an impact. I pray this morning, God, if there's somebody, a Christian in here, just been, Lord, they're so far from home. God, they have been far away. Lord, they may have even been in here in every service. They may have never missed, but Lord, Lord, in spirit, God, in your will, they're far away. I pray, God, this morning they get that settled. God, they'd get on fire and they'd burn hot once again for you. Lord, I pray now for the next few minutes, God, that you would anoint this preaching. God, you'd breathe life into this message, Father, and use me for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to look at this passage one more time. We find here that Jesus, he's nowhere to be found here. He was with his family, and for whatever reason, he got lost on this journey, and his parents, Mary and Joseph, or Joseph, not as his earthly father, he had no DNA, amen, in Jesus. And that's why Jesus was about the Father's business. Mary seemed to forget that, amen. Towards the end of the chapter, Mary didn't quite understand what Jesus said. When she finally found Jesus, she says, "Hey, we've been sorrowful and we've worried about you. Where you been?" He said, "Hey, I wished you not that you know I'm to be about my Father's business. My Father's business." Amen. Jesus was just doing what he was birthed into this world to do. Amen. And so Mary had, and the Bible says that she hid all those things in her heart. She didn't quite understand it at first, but towards the end of the chapter, you'll see that she remembered those later down the road. Amen. But I want to look at these couple verses here. It says in verse 40, "The child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, grace of God was upon him." Hallelujah. Verse number 42. "And when he was 12 years old, went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast." And then verse number 44. "But they supposing him to have been in the company." Can you imagine that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, lived under your roof and in your house, and on a trip that you took, he was gone and you didn't even know it? And I thought, man, I mean, I love my whole family. I live with three girls, and my two girls, if we take a trip or we're out somewhere at the mall or shopping, and man, I mean, they're lost for a moment. I mean, it worries me, amen. I thought, well, if you can't find them, let's go get them. Yeah. Amen. And I got to thinking about that. If Jesus Christ lived under my roof, and I didn't know where he was, You better bet you I'd go find him, amen. And I got to thinking about this, and the Holy Ghost said, man, I tell you, that's a good thought. Hey, someone needs to go get Jesus, amen. I got to looking around, hey, at the church, at things, the way they're going in America. I got to looking at the spirituality of this nation in which we live. I got to looking at the spirituality of the churches in our nation. I got to looking at our children. I got to looking at the news. I got to looking at the statistics. Hey, did you know? Hey, you can take a heart disease, you can take cancer, and you can take car wrecks. Hey, listen, for the last 50 years, car wrecks, heart disease, and cancer are the three leading causes of death. But I tell you, you can add them all up, and heroin and meth have took more lives in the last year than all three of them combined. I tell you this for a fact, church, someone needs to go get Jesus. I'm here to tell you, we are in a mess. And families are broken, and lives are broken, and homes are broken, churches are broken. Hey, they're calling them churches. They're meeting together. They're standing in pulpits. They're singing their songs, and they know not that Jesus is nowhere to be found. Nowhere to be found. Someone go get him, amen. You say, Brother Lawrence, how do you go? We're going to look at that in a moment. How you're going to get him? I'm here to tell you the reason that we know sometimes we'll come in, we'll blow out. Hey, I'm here to tell you there are churches within miles of this church. Hey, they're going to have a religious experience. They're going to sing a few songs. A preacher's going to preach a message he got from somewhere who knows where to try to make them feel good, and all along they suppose that he's there, and he's not anywhere to be found. So what do we do about it? I tell you what we do about it. We go get him. Amen. Hallelujah. There's enough people in here. If we resolve, I'm here to tell you what we need to do. It's figure out what God wants us to do and just resolve to do it. Amen. What does God want me to do? And just do it. Amen. Amen. Don't think about it. You think about it too long, you'll talk yourself right out of doing something for God. I tell you what, you start thinking about it, you'll mess that thing plumb up. Amen. Just do it. Amen. What we find here, I think I done spent everything I was in the tank already. Amen. Glory to God. How was that, 5 minutes? Lord have mercy. My back's killing me already. I'm getting old, man. I tell you, 40 is right around the bend. Amen. Hallelujah. Man, hallelujah. Brother Clinton, you want to finish this, brother? Amen. Well, I'll tell you what. I tell you, there was a heavy spirit in here. I'm feeling, listen, I know there ain't no feelings in salvation, but it feels good to be saved. Amen. Hey, there's something down in there that just stirs around, and I like it. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know what it is. I can't explain it. I just know He's there. Amen. Glory to God. Say, Brother Lawrence, why do you act that way? I don't know. I can't help it. Amen. Amen. Well, let's look at this. He say, Brother Lawrence, why does someone need to go get Jesus? Well, I'll tell you, go to Ecclesiastes chapter number 1. If you look over me, look over there with me. Ecclesiastes chapter number 1. Now many would say, you've probably read this many, many times. In Ecclesiastes 1, we know that this is David's son, King Solomon, that wrote this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, of course. But we know you can even ask your liberal professors and liberal God-hating universities, and they'll tell you, many of them will tell you, outside of Jesus Christ, Solomon may be the wisest man that ever lived. And you say, why is that, Brother Lawrence? Well, I'll tell you why. Because he came to the Lord, and the Lord asked him, he said, what would you have me give you? And he didn't ask for wealth. He didn't ask for fame. He didn't ask for fortune. He didn't ask for power. Oh, but he asked for wisdom. And I'm here to tell you, God gave it to him. And then God gave him fame. And then God gave him fortune. And God gave him a kingdom. Glory to God. Hey, you come to God, and you just ask for the things that he'll give you, that you know that he wants to give you, and he'll just give you the rest. Amen. Whew. Man, when you seek him first, he'll just give you the rest. Amen. Whoa, what a blessing. Well, let's see. Ecclesiastes chapter number 1. Look at this in verse number 1. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. Now here's, I'm going to give you a couple definitions today. Literally, I'm not kidding you. If I give you a definition, I don't add anything to it. I'm not trying to put my twist on it. And you can take, hey, listen, let the Holy Spirit teach you this. Let me just look at this. And Noah Webster's 1828 Webster's Dictionary says this about vanity. Vanity is emptiness. Look here, this is amazing. The want of substance to satisfy desire. Now you can take the one of substance to satisfy desire. You can put a lot of things in there. Boy, you can put drugs in there. You can put the liquor in there. You can put all the dope in there. Hey, you can take lust. You can take pride. You can put pornography in there. You can put it all in there. The one of a substance to satisfy a desire. But I'm here to tell you, it's all vanity, vanity, and vanity. It's all empty. It's all empty. Look at this. Uncertainty. Semicolon. Have you ever lived in a day where there's more uncertainty than it is when we live? I'm here to tell you, when I was growing up 25 years ago, my dad didn't have a pistol locked and loaded laying around. My dad didn't even think about concealed carry. I lived 10 minutes, 15 minutes from here. I'm here to tell you, my mom and dad never kissed me goodbye to go to school and was worried about somebody walking into school and blowing my head off or coming. Hey, they wasn't worried about terrorism or ISIS. I'm here to tell you, we live in uncertain times. Why? Hey, I'm telling you, someone needs to go get Jesus. They done threw him out of the churches. They threw his book out of the pulpits. They took the books out of the schools. They took prayer out of schools. I'm here to tell you, and they tried to put other things in its place. All they're trying to do is fill an empty void with something other than Jesus, and they're trying to put a square peg in a round hole. What they're trying to do is put something in a bag with holes in it. And they get to the end of the bottle and they want more. They get to the end of the needle, it doesn't satisfy. It's uncertain. Look at this, vanity. Fruitless desire or endeavor. Fruitless desire and trifling labor that produces no good. Empty pleasure. Vain pursuit. Unsubstantiated enjoyment. Now, this Solomon wrote here, vanity of vanities. All is vanity. He lived this life. He lived it to his fullest. And God gave him wisdom. And he experienced it all. And when he came down to the end, he said, it's all empty. It's all vanity. Hey, but if you look towards the end of the chapter, he says, I give you the conclusion of the whole matter. I believe it's the last verse of Ecclesiastes. He said, fear God. Keep his commandments. My dear friends, if you want to walk in God's blessings, if you want to have God's power and God's touch, oh, you can't grab a hold of the bag with holes in it. You got to grab a hold of Jesus. Someone needs to go get him. Amen. Hallelujah. It's empty. The bag is empty. Nothing in there. Hallelujah. Look at this. Look at this. Verse number 4. Well, let's look at 3. 3 is good too. Man, the whole chapter is good. Man, I like to preach the whole thing. Look at verse 3. What profit hath a man of all of his labor, which he taketh under the sun? Boy, that ought to wake some of us up. Hallelujah. I cut 4 trees yesterday, and I read that. I said, Lord, why'd I have to cut 4 trees? He said, what profit hath a man of all his labor? Man, my back's killing me today. Amen. Glory to God. It'd been better to not just have to do it. Amen. Can I tell you something? Listen to me, church. If you're going to hear me preach again in this pulpit, you'll probably hear me say this. I promise you this. When you stand before God, you will not wish you had a doctorate instead of a master's. You will not wish you made $150,000 as opposed to $50,000. You will wish you took every dime that you made and every dime that you had and give it to Jesus, and every ounce of your being and just give it to Jesus, and every time that he opened the door, you would have jumped through it with both feet and both hands and said, why did I do that? Hey, I'm here to tell you, you won't wish that you labored more or worked a better job or had a different career. You're going to wish that you gave it all for the cause of Christ. Everything else is just emptiness. It's empty. It's empty. Look at verse number 4. Why do we need to go get Jesus? One generation, look at verse number 4. One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh. But the earth abideth forever. Why do we need to go get Jesus? First of all, number 1, we need to go get Jesus. Because in our nation, we have empty lives. Empty lives. Number 1, let me say this. Empty lives. We need to go get Jesus for our children. For our children. You say, Brother Lawrence, what are you talking about? Well, I got 2 youngins of my own, and I'm here to tell you, I never thought this day would come when I actually had to think about my daughter at school sitting in the classroom and somebody talking about things, I mean, either perverted things or things coming out of their mouth that I'd like to be there, amen, and tell them to hit the road, amen. I really never dreamed that this day would come where I would, and my little girl came home the other day, she said, Dad, when you just picked me up and took me to the doctor, she said, there was 2 girls walking down the school, walking down the aisle there, holding hands and kissing. I said, boy, it's a good thing I didn't see them. I ought have grabbed a hold of them, took them right to the office and said, hey, my daughter had to see that, and I'm here to tell you, I don't think you're going to change it, but I ain't happy about it. And I'm here to tell you, that doesn't, man, they could put the shows on, they could put the commercials on, and I'm not going to accept it. Someone needs to go get Jesus, amen. Well, what a blessing. Well, let me say this. Let me say this. We need to go get Jesus for our children. Let me say this, church. Our teenagers, our young people, what we call today our millennials. Listen, hey, they're searching for joy and pleasure amongst the world instead of the house of God. Hey, the godly things. You say, Brother Lawrence, why is that? We've went way too long, church. Hey, we've had way too many services. We've sang too many songs without the power of God, without God's touch. Hey, they've attended too many services where the altars are dry and the Spirit of God, the saints of God are quiet. There's no more shouting. There's no more excitement. There's no more running. Hey, there's no more. Hey, how many times in the last few years have you heard somebody stand up in one of our service and say, boy, I hate to tell you, oh, I hate to do this with my family, but God's called me to a foreign field out of our church. I'm saying, God's calling me to preach the gospel. Are you kidding me? We used to have revival services, Brother Doug. hug. They used to stand up every service and say, God's calling me. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to go. Boy, I tell you what, someone needs to get Jesus. Get him. Get him for our children. Can I hear? Whew. Let me say this. Look here. Do you know where the young people? Listen, do you know what young people want? And these millennials want? They want acceptance. You know how I know that? Because the creators of all this stuff, the Instagram, the Facebook, all these little media outlets, you know what they figured out? You know what they know? They know that young people want acceptance. So you know what they do? They show everybody. Here's how many followers I got. Here's how many likes I got. Did you see what they said? They want acceptance. But here's what the downfall. Here's the downfall. Listen. Listen here, young. There's a lot of youngins in here. Here's the downfall. They go to school. They try to be accepted. Oh, but no, they try to live like a Christian. Or they, hey, listen, they have some standards about them. They don't go to those places. Oh, they get isolated. And then they look on their Facebook. And then they look on their Instagram. No one likes them. No one follows them. And then the girls are talking about them. Or the boys are talking about them. And they're not cool. And then what happens is our young people are jumping off bridges. They're going to try to find happiness and acceptance in drugs. And I'm here to tell you, if they don't find it somewhere, the devil will give it to them. So they walk around. I'm here to listen. Man, I'm chasing a rabbit. This is going to get me in trouble. Brother Randy, you just need to throw up two hands when you need me. Man, amen. Or when I pass out. Listen. Listen to me. Man, I try to use this kind of stuff over at the prison. But I heard a couple weeks ago, there was a guy, really popular. He was up and coming, one of them rappers. His name was Little Peep. You can look him up. This will wake you up to what's going on in our society. Because I think us old fuddy duddies, we don't pay attention to stuff. We don't understand. Listen, when our children are not with us, and they got them cell phones, and they got all that internet, and they got all, you don't know what they're looking at. Oh, say, Brother Lawrence, my child would never do that. You better not say that. You better not. You just smack the devil in the face. Can I tell you, he punches back. Yes, he sure does. And you better be able to take a punch. He'll knock you plumb out. Amen? Y'all with me? Listen, here's what happens. You go. Listen, you need a wake-up call. You go to the mall. You just sit down. I know Brother Doug. Brother Doug and I, we like to watch. Amen. I'm just amazed. Amen. The different colors of hair, the dress styles. Hey, listen. Listen to me. Listen, you say, Brother Lawrence, you're just being judgmental. No, listen. You can walk in here. You can walk in here and look at someone's eyes and look at the smile on their face and know whether someone loves God.
Yeah.
Because their spirit bears witness with my spirit. You go down to the mall and you sit. It's not being judgmental. They look like the world. They smell like the world. They're telling the dirty jokes. They're listening to the world's music. They need Jesus. Hey, you say, Brother Lawrence, they got them iPods, them things in their ears, and they're walking around like zombies. That's why you go watch them. Man, they're getting hit by cars, crossing streets. Why? They're literally bound by Satan, and he's got them just controlled. Our young people are just controlled. Now, let me say this. This young guy, 21 years old, he wrote a song. And this is what's disturbing. He wrote a song a year ago. And he said in his first line of the song that by this time next year, I will be dead. So I might as well go get high. And this is just the way that I be. And if you can read the rest of the song, it's empty. It's broken. It's hopeless. And at the end of the song, he says, this is just the way that I be. Can I tell you, Christian, that's not the way you have to be. Can I tell you, young person, that's not the way that you have to be. You say, Brother Lawrence, what are you trying to say? Well, that young man last week videoed himself and put pictures of himself doing drugs, put all kinds of drugs on his tongue, and took a video of himself, and he overdosed, and he died. And that was to a year that he wrote those lyrics. This is just the way that I be. Next year I'll be dead. Can I tell you? Here's what's disturbing. That song had 27 million views. Someone's listening to it. There's only 400 million people in America. Say, Brother Lawrence, my daughter ain't watching that. Here's what they listen to. They listen to the music and not the words. They get caught up in that. I don't know where all this, that's not it. I don't know how all that came out. Someone needed to hear that. Can I tell you this? Teenagers are looking for acceptance. And they'll find it in drugs, music, relationships, acceptance of any kind or of any group. You know what those prisoners down there at the jail want? They want to be accepted. You know what we go over and tell them? Jesus loves them. Amen. We tell them that in love. I mean, listen, sometimes that's what I try to stand. I try to stand and tell them that's what I pray about. Lord, help me to come across being mad at the, sometimes I get mad at the devil and I get mad at what's going on. And sometimes I just need to make sure that I'm telling the message with love and compassion because the Lord knows my heart. America needs Jesus, our families, our churches. Hey, we got to get Jesus. We got to get him. Now, watch this. Let's do this. Go with me. Turn with me over to Psalms chapter number 8. You may want to hold your place there. You may want to hold your place in Ecclesiastes 1, but turn with me over to Psalms chapter number 78. Look at this. Church, they say, why do we need to get Jesus? We got to get Jesus for our children. Here it is. Here it is in Psalms chapter number 78. It's the book of Psalms chapter 78. I want you to see this. Psalm 78 and verse number 2, the Bible says, I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known. And our fathers have told us. Verse number 4, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that we should make them known to their children. Y'all see that? That we would make, why? That we would make them known to their children. Verse number 6, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born. Who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright. Can I tell you, church, why do we need to go get Jesus? We need to go get Jesus for our children. Listen to me now. Listen, I'll get on with this, but I'll tell you this, as you look around this church tonight, there are enough young people in here. There are enough 20s, young people, 20s and 30s. I'm here to tell you that God can use to really make an impact in this area, that God can use to do something for His glory. But I'm here to tell you, church, why do we need as Emmanuel Baptist Church to get God? That our children and my children's children and your children's children and your youngins, they might see old-fashioned worship. They might see what it's like to see a true revival and souls being saved and God moving and God saving. Why? I'm here to tell you, they're filling them up. The rock bands are taking over. I'm here to tell you, if we don't get them to see old time worship, our children's children will have no idea why we're even here this morning. They'll have no idea what that sign's about. No idea. No idea why we really believe this King James Bible. They'll have no idea. They won't even be bringing, listen, 20, 30 years, they won't be bringing their Bibles to church. Why? They don't need them. They don't need them. They'll all be on the screen, on the phone, wherever it is. They might even be microchip. They'll be walking around like robots in 20, 30 years. You think I'm kidding? They're putting chips in everybody. There's a waiting line for people that want to be microchipped. I tell you why we need to get Jesus on the scene. He's coming. And we need to let them know, Brother Doug. Pastor, we need to let them know Jesus is coming. I'm here to tell you, that we might get a burden that the one generation, look what it says, one generation passeth away and another generation coming. Time's waiting for nobody. I'm here to tell you, Jesus is coming and we got to get him on the scene. Look at this, verse number 8. Ecclesiastes 1:8. Look at this. All things are full of labor. No man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. Church, can I say this? We're talking about vanity and emptiness. Can I tell you, God has made, He's made millions and millions of beautiful women since the dawn of time. And He's made millions and millions and millions of eyes to behold them. Can I tell you this? There's never been one eye that God's ever made or created that has ever been fully satisfied by looking at one. That bag with holes. Oh, we may have preached. Listen, I married my wife. I thought she was beautiful, and she is. But what if she's in a wheelchair tomorrow? You know what? I'm going to love her anyway. Why? Because she's the woman that God gave me. But look what Solomon said. The eyes not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear satisfied with hearing. And boy, that's the gateway. That's what the devil's using. He uses the eye. He uses the ear with music. And that's why the pornography business doesn't go out of business, because they're making billions after billions, because there's not one scene. Hey, it ain't one's not enough. One look is never enough. And they're never satisfied. They keep coming back. Hey, they're addicted to that junk. Say, Brother Lawrence, boy, I tell you this right now. We need Jesus. We need to get Him. We need to get Him. We can, look here. We can act like this stuff doesn't go on, and we can act like it, and act like it, and act like it. And I tell you what, when all the old time independent fundamental Baptists die off, there'll be no one to carry it on. There'll be no one. Because I tell you what, I preach like this for about 20 more years, son. I tell you what, I don't know if I can handle it. Amen. You might have better, amen. Better say amen while you can. I'm going to be gone. Maybe today. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at this. You say, Brother Lawrence, look, how does the devil do it? Well, let's look at this. Verse number 9. Look at verse number 9. The thing that hath been is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done. Look here. And there is no new thing under the sun. Watch this. Let me show you something. The way the devil works and the way the Lord is completely opposite. You see, the Lord is never changing. He just is. He's not broke, so He don't need to be fixed. He don't need to be made new. The Word of God doesn't need to be updated, because God is still the same. It's still the same God that got up out of the grave, that died on the cross, that gave us victory, that flung the stars out, that spoke it all, is my God. And He's not new. But the devil needs a new iPhone, a new this, a new that, a new program, a new Instagram, a new method, a new show, a new wardrobe, a new look, a new fad, a new trend. It's all new. But the problem is, it's nothing new. The same cell that the devil gave Eve when he said, take of the fruit, and she said, no, God said, I can't have it. He said, yea, God hath not said. That's the same cell that the drug dealer gives the addict on the corner. If you take this, your wife won't leave you. Your children won't leave you. They'll still love you. Hey, they'll come by and give you a shot of Narcan. God will still love you. It's the same cell. You can take every sin that Satan uses as a device to bind people and to keep them bound by his will. You can take them all and fit it right there. There's nothing new. It's the same pickup line. It's all a lie. It's all vanity, and it's all empty. And he will leave you empty. Whew. He'll leave you empty. Empty and dry. But Jesus, hey, he said, seek ye out the old paths. And walk there in the old way. He's the opposite of new. He's old. Amen. Whew. Glory to God. Well, let me say this. We need to go get Jesus for the empty lives and for our children. And then we need to look at this. And I'm wrapping up. We need to go get Jesus because of the empty hearts. Empty hearts for our changing. For our changing. I want you to take your Bibles. We may come back, but hold your place there. Go to the book of Titus. Paul's letter to Titus in Titus chapter number 3. Look at Titus chapter number 3. Why do we need to go get Jesus? Well, let's look at this. For hearts and for our changing. Look at this. This is a great passage of Scripture, and you may have heard me say this before, but I tell you, and I do my best to allow God to lead, but over at the prison, I try my best to teach them about this doctrine of regeneration. This doctrine, listen, church, listen to me. We don't need, like I said, we don't need a better Bible. We've got the one. We got the right God, the right Spirit. Amen. We don't have time to go over there, but hey, there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one Spirit. Hey, listen. Hey, we've got it right. What are we missing? Well, let's look at this. Titus chapter number 3. Look at verse number 3. For we ourselves also were, past tense, sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Glory to God. I'm glad He saved me out of that. Look at verse number 4. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward man, appeared. Amen. Can you remember that day when He appeared and He delivered you from that mess? Amen. Look at this, verse number 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. I don't know why a lot of people get turned around on this. I don't know if it's the whole renewing of the Holy Ghost, or maybe they get turned around on something charismatic. There ain't nothing charismatic about that. I'm here to tell you, that's Bible doctrine right there. But boy, I tell you what, to really get the true picture of that, listen to this now. Listen, He talked about, but according to His mercy, He saved us. Here's what folks miss about salvation. When you got saved, He washed you and regenerated you by the Holy Spirit and made you new. He made you. He did a heart surgery and took your heart out and put a new heart in. You say, Brother Lawrence, I need to know. I need you to prove that to me. Well, again, let me give you the definition here for regeneration. Listen to this. The definition, word for word, the act of producing anew. No added to that. The act of producing new. The new birth by the grace of God. That change by which the will, listen to this, that change by which the will and natural enmity of man to God and His law are subdued. You see, before you were saved, you were snared, you were caught in a net, you were dead in trespasses and sins, you were subdued and held captive by the devil, you were bound in chains, you may have been addicted to things. Oh, but when you got saved, He washed you and forgave you and put His hand of grace on you and regenerated you and put you on His production line of saints. Amen. Glory to God. He made you new. He washed you and made you new. Here it is. Get this. Get a hold of this. That change by which the will and natural enmity of man to God and His law are subdued, and a principle of supreme love to God and His law and holy affections are implanted in the heart. Whew. Whew. Amen. Are you all getting that? Whoo, glory to God. I mean, the Lord showed me that in a hotel room, and that place was not big enough for me in there. Amen. I'm here to tell you, church, listen, I mean, the Holy Spirit showed me. He said, Lawrence, when you do anything for me, when you follow me, when I lead and you follow, it has nothing to do with you. It's all my grace. It's all my love. Just to see, when I got saved, He took His finger and He wrote His laws upon my heart. And then He put holy affections in the place where lust was, in the place where envy and strife and pride and that wicked heart. He washed me and forgave me and regenerated me. Say, Brother Lawrence, what's your point? The reason we need to go get Jesus is because I believe churches just like ours, there might be people here this morning, they know of a man, they've been a robot their whole life, but man, they've never been regenerated. They can't figure out why they can't quit sinning. They can't figure out why they quit looking at that stuff. They can't figure out why they keep asking for forgiveness and going back to the same places, the same things, and they never have victory. Oh, but they're all ways of walking around beat up by the devil. Maybe you need regenerated. Say, Brother Lawrence, you think you're super spiritual? Oh, no, I think I'm just the opposite. Amen. I think I've realized that I'm a nothing, and everything that I am is because He regenerated me. Because it just said, not by works of my righteousness. I tell you what, if it has to do with anything about my preaching or about what I've done, I'll be way at the back of the line. And if it's about me, I'm telling you, I'm not making it. But it ain't about me, it's about Him. Because He saved me. Why do we need to get Jesus? We need to get Jesus for our children. We need to get Jesus for our changing. And let me just say this. We need to get Jesus for our church. For our church. Let me say this. Stay right where you're at. Boy, the Lord just kind of changed things on here. I'll just stay right where you're at. In Titus chapter number 1. It's all small little chapters there. Titus 1, look at verse number 16. I'm just following the Lord. Titus chapter number 1, verse number 16. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. We need to get Jesus. Somebody needs to go get Him. Because I'm here to tell you, why is it that it seems like every message has to do with faithfulness? Because we're not faithful. And there's a reason we're not faithful. The reason we're not faithful is because we think we've had Jesus in our company all along and He's not there. He's not there in our company at home. He's not there when it's time to maybe study and walk with Him. He's not there when it's time to maybe get a hold of Him. Not for asking for anything, but just to spend time with Him because you love Him. Yeah. Amen. Boy, man, I hit something. I hit something. But we need to get Jesus on the scene because we have empty church members. We need to get Him on the scene for our church. Empty of the power of God, empty of true joy and happiness. I mean, man, I couldn't believe that. I mean, Pastor, that goes right. I mean, He had to actually tell us to sing in the choir. We're in the choir to sing, but He had to tell us to sing. Amen. I was in there. Amen. I was in. Hey, we need to get Jesus. There's something, listen, I know it's holiday season, Christmas, I know all that, and we get worried about things. That's why the Lord's trying to get us our attention to see, hey, even though we think He's in the company, we think we're coming and we're doing a service, and we think we're going through the motions and showing up, I'm here to tell you, is He really there? Is He there in your home? Is He there in your car? I mean, is the Spirit of God really, are you really getting what God has for you? Are you really getting it? Because I'm telling you, it's probably a whole lot more than you ever dreamed. What God would have for you. Let me just say this. I'm going to be quiet. Why do we need to go get Jesus? Well, how do you get Him? I believe this. I told him at the prison this morning. I don't care if it's one of them that goes and gets Him. Somebody needs to get Him. This could be grandma. This could be somebody that really can't even get to church. But man, they spend every waking moment seeking the touch and power of God for God to bring a revival. Whatever. But listen, church, I'm asking you, listen to me. You will not regret it. You will not regret one moment of your faithfulness, one moment of listen, abandon. I'm asking, so how do we get Him on the scene? You need to abandon yourself. You need to abandon everything else. Abandon yourself. Abandon your sin. And say, God, I'm trusting You. I want You more than... Ask God to take that desire, whatever it is that you want more than Him. Ask Him to take it away from you. Get it under the blood and say, I'm not going back there. I want You in my life, my family, my church, and for the sake of my children and the next generation. Father, I want You to bless me. Boy, I tell you what, if you can get to that humble place, it'll pick up. It'll pick up. How do we get Him on the scene? Well, you'll get there on your knees. You'll get there by giving a kind word to a brother or sister in need. Amen? You won't get there by hating one another, envy, strife, and pride. We'll get there for that. I pray today, is there somebody in here that could go get Him? including myself. Boy, I tell you what, that's what we need to do. That's what we need to do. Pastor, you come.